If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning to you. 908. I'm Andy, and I'm not going to lie to you. I am excited about not being here. You say, wait a minute, you haven't been here. What are you talking about? Well, that's true. I haven't been here, but I'm heading out on vacation, and we'll be gone a couple of weeks. I apologize. You know, I'm not going to lie. And by the way, Stockton is here today. Mello is out of town. She's on vacation right now. Hi, Stockton.
Hello.
Doing all right?
Yes, I'm doing great. Much better than I was a week ago.
Yes. We both went through some things last week or so. But as far as the vacation, so it's a weird relationship when you host a morning show. And anybody who's hosted a morning show knows what I'm talking about, is you become, even though you may not know your listeners' names, and I know a few of you because you text me and you win prizes and I learn your names. And so there's quite a few of you I have saved in my phone and your names and everything. But you become really good friends with your listeners. You have a relationship.
Right.
And so when I think about going on vacation, or like I've been sick lately, missed a few days, but more so the vacation part of it, I kind of feel an obligation. I feel bad. Like I'm letting my friends down. I'm not going to be here because my friends want to hear me and we want to talk and I'm not going to be here. And Stockton, you're going to be hosting the morning show, except for the 9 o'clock hour. You're
right.
Going to be hosting the morning. And I know you do a fantastic job, but there are people out there. They're going to flick the radio on and go, where's Andy? What, you know, why is my friend here?
And that's inevitable. Yeah.
And I just want you to know, listeners out there, I really feel that. I know that and I feel it and I feel bad when I go. I feel good to be gone. It feels good to be gone, but I feel bad when I go. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yes.
So anyway, yes, I will be leaving for the next time you will hear my voice on the radio, at least live, will be August the 12th.
That's a Monday. So it's 2 weeks from Monday.
Yeah, 2 weeks from Monday. So I'll have it two full weeks off. I am going on kind of the dream vacation that my wife and I have always wanted to go on and never thought we could or would. But an opportunity arose where I got some money off through Morris Columbus. Not a lot. We're still paying a lot of money for it. But we are going on a river cruise on the Rhine River from Amsterdam up the Rhine River through Germany, a little portion of France,
man,
and ending with a few days in Switzerland.
That's incredible.
The thing that maybe I'm most excited about, I have had this lifelong fascination with castles in the medieval times, and they call this the castle tour. We're going to see somewhere between 40 and 50 castles.
Holy crap.
On this trip. Now, we won't get to tour them all, but we'll get to see them from the river.
Yes.
And tour some of them. So, pretty excited about
man.
That.
Man.
Yeah.
Have you been to Europe before?
Never.
Man.
I always say I've never been on North America, off of North America. Well, I've been to Hawaii, and technically that's off North America, but it's still in the United States.
Right.
But I've never, yeah, except for Hawaii, I've never been off North America. So I'm pretty excited about it. It's going to be fun. How about you? Have you been over there?
No. The closest thing I've ever been out of the country was I went on like a short 3-day cruise from, it went from California
to Mexico?
Down to Mexico, and then came right back up. And we stopped in Mexico for about 4 hours. And I got off there and all that. But here's the thing. I don't count it, and here's why. I didn't have to get a passport. I didn't have to get a passport for it, and it feels like I cheated. And when I go out of the country, I want to spend, like, an actual chunk of time seeing the sights and all that stuff. Yeah. All that was a pit stop. So it's why even though I had a delay flight back in like 2017 when I was going to Washington, D.C. We ended up having to stop on the way to Denver. I don't say I've been to Denver because all we did was just drop in Denver for a second.
Yeah, exactly.
So I kind of treat it like that.
I've never been to Detroit. We're going to have a layover in Detroit for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I'm not going to count that as I've been to Detroit.
You want to count it after you've experienced it.
Now, that being said, I don't think I want to go to Detroit for very long. But, yeah. Today I want to talk a little bit about, I want to talk about some recent news events, too, as well. But when you get in the hospital, and unfortunately I was in the hospital the last few days, with something called sepsis. It's a poisoning of the blood, and unfortunately, I know way too much about this. This is the fourth time in my life I've been hospitalized because of sepsis, and they have isolated how I get it for the most part. Unfortunately, there always seems to be a new way in it. So I have a peripheral neuropathy in my feet.
Yeah.
And so if I get even a little micro cut in my feet and then I expose it to some kind of bacteria, in this case, we believe it was from the garden hose in my son's backyard. We had a little kid pool, and I played with the grandkids in the water. We believe the bacteria got in through the garden hose in my son's backyard through some kind of cut on my foot. Didn't know about it. In the past, it was from a lake and an ocean, which I've kind of pretty much, the idea of me swimming in the ocean ever again or a lake is out.
Yeah.
But we didn't think a garden hose would do it. And apparently that is a situation. And the funny thing is a pool actually is perfectly safe for me because
of the chlorine.
Chlorine kills the heck out of any bacteria. Even a public pool, if it's chlorinated properly, is not a threat at all to me.
Well, and that's why they put chlorine in the first place. It's a cleaning solution.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, when you're faced with something like that, and honestly, untreated sepsis will kill you. And even treated, there's about a 20% mortality rate.
Yes.
Now, I'm no rocket scientist, but I've been in four times.
You've been playing the dice, my friend.
20% is...
That's insane. Yeah.
So, I was actually really lucky because when I first went in, they thought the kind of sepsis, and there's a bunch of different kinds of bacteria, they thought the kind of bacteria I had was going to take 2 weeks of intravenous hospitalization, basically. That meant Europe was bye-bye. You're not going.
Yeah.
After consulting with an infectious disease specialist and studying the lab cultures, the kind of bacteria I have, and it's Streptococcus, but there's several strains of even Streptococcus. The kind I have is the kind you can treat with oral antibiotics. So I'm very lucky.
So you're going to be going on the cruise, but you're going to be high as a kite while doing so.
Well, I don't know if Streptococcus will do that, but it will make me very sick.
Yes, it'll make you very sick.
My stomach. The biggest side effect of heavy doses of amoxicillin is diarrhea.
So basically, you're going to be going on this trip hell or high water, essentially.
Yeah. And I hope they have very nice toilets in Europe. I understand you have to pay to get into a lot of them. I don't know. I'm going to find out the hard way. I was in the hospital contemplating mortality and life. I got thinking about the hand that we're dealt. And, you know, when I was your age, Stockton, and you're about half my age, when I was your age, I was kind of, I don't want to call myself an idiot, but I was kind of oblivious, I guess would be a better word.
Reckless.
For it. No, just oblivious to other people's plight, right?
Gotcha.
If I saw somebody who was fat, if I saw somebody who was limping, if I saw somebody who was, you know, whatever, they had funny looking hair, whatever, my thought was, what an idiot, you know, what, how stupid, you know, whatever. And it took a little seasoning, a little salt and pepper, I guess, for me to realize that, you know, we don't get to choose the hand that we're dealt. In some ways, I mean, we can alter it, of course. But the truth of the matter is, we don't get to choose who our parents are.
No, we don't.
We don't get to choose the kind of body that we were given, for the most part. We don't get to choose the color of our hair. Okay, you can dye it, but that's not what I'm talking about. So it took, honestly, 3 decades for me to start figuring that out. That, you know, I might, when I was 16, I might have made fun of somebody for looking the way they do. And then now, at, you know, in my late 50s, I'm like, you know, that's the way they were. That's the way they look. It's just the way it is.
I thought that way about mental health in particular.
Mm-hmm. And you have some experience with that in your family.
Yeah. So. And so when I didn't really experience that sort of change until I was 17 when my brother passed away from a drug overdose. And essentially, it's really interesting because I didn't, at least this is what I've come to understand about it. I didn't grieve correctly. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, what's the correct way to grieve? Well, you have to figure that out.
It
upended my life for the longest time. It wasn't until I was like 21. So it was a full 4 years of just like absolute, like, I have no idea what I'm doing with my life because I was so non-functioning. It's why I got my degree later in, like, compared to a lot of people in my demographic, I got it kind of late. Seeing all the people I went to high school with, they got their degrees like 3 years before I did.
Yeah.
And so that was a little depressing having to deal with that. But that, I couldn't help that. That was just kind of the mental state I was given. You know what I mean?
Well, you and I are very similar in that way because my brother killed himself.
Yes.
And I was, let me do the math on it. I was 27 when he killed himself. He had three little boys. It changes everything about you. When something to someone that you were that close with passes away, whether by their own hand or drug overdose or whatever,
yeah,
it changes your whole outlook. You reevaluate everything about yourself. And I was sidetracked too. I went, okay, am I going where I want to go?
Yeah.
And the answer almost always is, well, not exactly. And so I started reevaluating, okay, how do I treat my wife? How do I appreciate my family? What do I really want to do this for a living? Do I want to change it and do that? And I was a lot like you. For a couple of years, I was like, I'm not sure how this is, you know, what I'm supposed to do. Hmm. So, I think, hopefully, both of us are on the right track now.
I would certainly hope so. It took me a second to get here.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know what, you know, this, I feel like I am on the right track. I feel really good. I'm incredibly proud of my five children. They are all contributing to society. I don't have anybody in jail or or any kind of weird, you know, anomalies among my children. They're all good kids. And, you know, I have an amazing wife. She is, and I'll say this about nurses over there at St. George Regional. Nurses are incredible and amazing.
Oh, yeah, they are.
What they do. But more incredible, more amazing is my wife, the way she stepped up and helped me. Just incredible. But yeah, I feel like I'm on the right track, and I hope you are too. I do feel empathy for you and for my son. Both of you are single and divorced through no fault of your own. And I know what a tough world it is for a single guy who, you know, at this point in your life, this is not where you saw yourself, single.
No, yeah, I mean, if no one was aware, yes, I am divorced. I actually divorced really young. I got married when I was 20 or 21. Yeah. I divorced when I was 22. And it's been 5 years since then. And
wow.
Hmm. Yeah, and funny enough, that's also another thing that I've kind of contributed to mental health quite a bit, because on top of the whole brother passing away stuff, which is heavy in itself, then you're dealing with a divorce just about 5 years later, and then it's just trying to figure out where do you go from here, because your whole career you're like, well, now I am focused on getting my career up and running as fast as possible so I can support my family.
Well, and you haven't mentioned it, but it's true, especially in the Mormon culture, if you have a D by your name, divorced,
yeah,
that's a black mark.
You're a tainted product. Yeah, yeah. It's I had a, when I was in college, I actually had a friend who brought me onto this podcast specifically to talk about me being quote unquote tainted goods.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's sad to think that, because sometimes divorce is necessary. especially if you are both hurting each other, if it's hurting both of you more than helping you. You know what I mean? Of course, it's different when there's kids involved. In my case, there were no kids involved. So it was just kind of a, you know, we were both still young. As far as I know, my ex-partner is off doing their own thing now, and they're plenty happy, I think.
Divorced twice now, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Apparently. I wasn't going to say it. Yeah. But,
In my son's case, he, you know, as a matter of...
She was
cheating on him.
Yeah, his is a very, very unfortunate circumstance.
He was blindsided. I mean, he did everything right.
I was very lucky that mine was a little bit more clean than that.
So, I offer no judgment whatsoever on what happened to you guys. As far as I'm concerned, you did what's best for you. You had what you had to do. But I know, like I said, in Mormon culture, that deep word, and I know you're probably this way. My son is definitely this way. He right up front, he tells whatever girl he's dating, he's like, look, I got a divorce. Here's why. If you don't want to go out with me because of this, you know, so be it.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I have done, when I date someone, I do tend to like slip that in somewhere within like the first date. It's not so much like, here's my life story. It's more like back in the day when I was married. So I'd like try and because what I want them to do is I want them to actually ask me about it.
Do you ever get the double take, like, you what? And what now?
Fortunately, here's the thing. I actually haven't dated that much since the divorce. But in the few cases where I have been in a relationship since the divorce, they've all been very, very accepting.
That's good.
And I think that's just because of how commonplace a divorce is in this day and age.
Sad but true.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of the girls that I dated for a bit was kind of... they saw me as tainted goods. In fact, no, I know for sure one of them did think that.
All right, let's change the topic a little bit. Yes. I wanted to talk about current events, and in particular what happened. It was Wednesday night, I believe.
Yes, Wednesday night right after 9 p.m.
So I was in the hospital. My wife had run home. She was going to sleep in the hospital on the little couch they give you there to, you know, for your, if you have a partner that wants to sleep in the room with you. She had gone home, and my house lies, so Boulevard, she's on where the hospital is, of course, and then she has to run over, and we live over sort of by the mall. So she took River Road, Telegraph, whatever road you want to call it, and she noticed as she zipped by the Boulevard River Road intersection, there were a lot of lights in the area. She didn't, yeah. It did not affect her where she was going because she wasn't going that way, but she knew something was going on. And then she got where she could stop. She looked on social media and they said, yeah, there was a wreck, and they were performing CPR.
Yeah.
And that didn't look good. Well, so I'm in the hospital and I hear code green, ETA 3 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, green sounds like a good thing. We get a green light, we go, right? Green in the hospital, if there's a code green, that's not good.
No, it's not.
And basically that was advising the ER staff to be ready because there was a hot one coming and someone very seriously injured.
Yes.
And in this case, two individuals.
Yes.
Very seriously injured. So so I'm up on the fourth floor. I'm very far from the ER. So I didn't get to witness any of this, but I imagine what was going on. And sadly... a young man lost his life.
Yes.
Riding a motorcycle, and a young woman was critically injured. And the latest we know, Stockton, is that she is going to survive.
From what I understand, yes. But things can change at any time. That's what Officer Tiffany Mitchell told me yesterday, as well as some secondhand accounts I got from other people that I can't say on the air who they are. But they did tell me that the girl does have a lot of scratches and bruises, but they believe she's going to come out of it okay, which is great. But
do we have any idea if they were wearing helmets, either one of them?
No, I did not. Because there have been people theorizing online that maybe the guy was lending the helmet to the girl, and that's mm-hmm. why she was...
She's not killed
and
he was.
She's not killed and he was, but that's just... that's not confirmed in any way, shape, or form. What we do know is that they're both very young. They're young people. Guy was 24 years old.
The girl was around 20-ish.
Yeah, girl like 20, 19 years old, something like that. And even the car that the motorcycle drove into, the driver of that car was a 24-year-old girl. And she was completely fine.
Scarred for life now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and I imagine that 19 or 20 year old girl
is. And it wasn't her fault either.
No, it wasn't. From what I understand, I actually pulled up the post from the St. George Police Department. Here's what they said. They said the investigation into the fatal crash found that there was a dispute between a male driving a motorcycle, Alec Brown, the 24 year old, and another vehicle behind them as they're coming off of I-15 onto St. George Boulevard. This resulted in the drivers becoming distracted. The motorcycle ran the red light and collided with a vehicle traveling in the opposite direction. Both occupants of the motorcycle were transported to the hospital, and the male motorcyclist later died at the hospital.
I think I call them the peripherals involved. Put yourself in, okay, let's go first the motorcycle. Put yourself in the young lady that was on the back of the motorcycle.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if she had anything to do with the dispute, but she was not driving.
No, she wasn't.
We know that. I don't know if she saw that the light was red or not, but I know she was injured because he went through the red light.
Yeah.
And she had zero control. This was kind of driven home to me. One of the last trips we took on a motorcycle before I was kind of blackballed from using motorcycles by the doctors, by the way, because of my balance issues. Was we went down to Sedona, Arizona, my wife and I, and I was on the front of we had big old 1400 Kawasaki, you know, it was a big old motorcycle, but I'm having fun. I'm riding this thing. We're going across the Kaibab and the Indian Reservation. And she showed me a picture. She's like, well, here's my view. And it was the back of my head.
Yeah.
You know, and she goes, when you're on the back of the motorcycle, the view never changed. Now, that's not to say she couldn't look to the side and things like that.
Yeah, but it's hard to look ahead when you're just hugging for dear life.
And you really have to cede all control of your life, literally your life, to the motorcycle driver.
And you can kind of say the same thing about like a normal car, but less so just because of how much more dangerous a motorcycle can be.
Yeah, yeah. And you do have some control. You could wear a helmet in a car. You can wear a seatbelt.
Exactly.
You know, there are certain things that you can, you do have some control of. But yeah, I just feel for that young woman that was on the back of the motorcycle because she had no control.
And I also feel for the woman who was in the other car because
another peripheral. There's one more too, but yeah.
And so Officer Mitchell, when I spoke to her yesterday about the accident, she was telling me about how because she was doing everything she was obeying the law from what I understand. Mm-hmm. She was obeying everything. She had her seatbelt on. She had everything under control. And sometimes there are uncontrollable factors that just absolutely just barrel into your life. And it's just at that point, you just have to figure out how to deal with them. And, I guess that kind of ties back to what we said about mental health and our bodies and all that stuff. Sometimes there's just these things that come in and they traumatize you. So I feel for that girl as well, just because a normal night turned into probably something she'll never forget.
One of the nurses asked me about my neuropathy, and she said, oh, you have pretty severe peripheral neuropathy. I can't feel my feet whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, the funny thing about that, because my dad had neuropathy to some extent, I thought it was normal. I thought all guys, you know, when they got into their 50s and 60s, I thought they all got neuropathy.
Really?
And the nurse said, you know, here's the thing. It's common, but it's not normal.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? And I learned, I mean, over the last 10 years, I learned it's not normal, but it is common. And it's that same kind of thing. You don't even realize, you know. And so anyway, we've got to get to weather. But the other peripheral involved in this, whoever they were arguing with,
exactly,
the other road rage person, the other person they were, you know, I imagine flipping each other off or yelling at each other or whatever it is they were doing, their disagreement led to the death of a person. And maybe at first, if you're in the other vehicle and you saw the red light and stopped and they got in a crash, maybe at first instinct you're like, ha, serves you right. But I don't know anybody short of, you know, the crooks guy that tried to shoot President Trump or some other psychotics. I don't know anybody that wants to see someone die.
Absolutely.
And so I hope, I don't know. My wife said, do you think they'll charge the other person they got in an argument with? I said, honestly, they probably have a hard time getting any kind of case against them.
Yeah, I don't think that, well, and that's the other thing.
They don't even know necessarily.
Officer Mitchell said that no charges have been filed. And as you said, that was a hard case to make because in the end it was that driver's decision.
How would a lawyer prove that your argument with them caused them to miss the red light and die? That's not going to hold water. But they know in their heart that was a part of it.
Yeah.
And they'll always have to live with it. So, all right, the Andy Griffin Show here on KDXU. We will check in with weather and be back with more after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show. It's 9:37. Let's go right to the phone line. Richard, what's going on today, man?
Oh, another beautiful day in St. George.
It is, yeah, if you like hot, but we do.
Well, some of us don't get to go to Europe and have a good time, so.
I'm going to be paying for that one for a while, but yeah.
So, has your wife got a stand-in for you? I bet she was sweating it, you know, if you're in the hospital just a couple days before you leave.
She was. I told her, I said, you know, my son is a junior, Andrew Griffin Jr. I'm like, you could just take my passport and go. And she's like, yeah, he doesn't look like he's 58 years old. Sorry, that's not going to work.
Oh, well. Well, I hope you have a good one over there. But anyway, back to political. You guys were touching on it during your 8:30 political stuff.
Yeah.
About this lady running for president.
Yeah, Kamala Harris.
Yep. Boy, she's got a bag of stuff. And they got it all on tape. The thing she said, she wants to confiscate our guns, but of course she'll pay us for them, you know, as they kick our doors in and take them.
Yeah.
That was hot on her agenda when she was running for president. People forget that. She ran for president, didn't get one vote.
Yeah, she was less than 2% when she was in the primary, too, against Biden, too. So, Kamala Harris is—that's who they do. It looks like, although it's not official until the Democratic convention in a couple of weeks. So,
well, the way they're jamming it down our throats, so, or the Democrats' throats anyway. But she's a scary woman. I hope people come to their senses when they look at her because she's got an agenda worse than Obama did and Biden, I'm afraid.
It was kind of like, you know, when Hillary ran against Trump, it was like, okay, I don't like Trump, but I don't want to vote for that person. And I think we might get some of that with Kamala. People who don't like Trump, they might go, well, I don't really like him, but I really don't like her.
Well, I hope so. Because, boy, we can't handle 4 more years of this. Our country's gone, I'm afraid. So.
Yeah.
Hey, have a good trip, Guy.
Thank you, Richard. It's good to talk to you, man. We'll talk to you when I get back, for sure.
You bet.
This whole political thing. And by the way, for those who hadn't heard, Michelle and Barack Obama endorsed Kamala Harris today, early this morning. They said, yeah, we are throwing our millions of followers behind Kamala Harris, which is a little bit of a surprise. Two things. Number one, they waited 4 or 5 days to do this. Like, maybe we're not sure. Number two, they've always been known, love them or hate them, the Obamas are pretty moderate. They're not extreme liberals. Kamala Harris is an extreme liberal. So it's a little bit of a choice. I mean, their only other choice, well, there are two choices. Don't endorse anybody, which actually says a lot, or endorse Trump, and they're not going to do that because they're part of the Trump hater group. So I have a little clip. This is from Tucker Carlson. I think fits right into what we're talking about. This was not his show, but an interview with Tucker. Check this out. It's only a minute, 20 seconds.
Can I say one last thing?
Absolutely.
Since I know a lot of these people, the people I am always railing against, and I hate them and all this stuff, but like, they're totally suffering now. They're miserable. Like, I think if you looked inside Tony Blinken's soul, you would not find anything interesting or profound at all. At all. It's just like, banal as you imagine it is, this is my guess, But I think you would find a lot of turmoil and unhappiness and insecurity, barely sublimated rage, unhappiness, chaos.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is true of all these people. You think Joe Biden is happy, or his creepy fake doctor wife, or any of these people, Gavin Newsom, you really think he's like got a joyful life? Like, these people are living in hell now, actually. And so I do think that should be a marker. If you're looking at who to believe, who to put your confidence in, not your faith, put your faith in no man, but your confidence. I think the first thing you have to assess is this person happy? Is it joyful? Because if he's not, he's clearly on the wrong path. He's following a lie, knowingly or not. Like, I think it's a fair way to assess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a damn good point.
So if you wake up in a society run by unhappy women and the weak men who make them unhappy, these are not people worth following.
Wow. Wow. I'm telling you, just listening to that, I'm like, he nailed it. That's exactly it. If you look at the leadership right now of the Democratic Party, and it's looks like it's going to be Kamala Harris, you say, is that a happy person? Was Nancy Pelosi a happy person? No, these were not happy people. They, you know, and you look at the other side, the conservatives, the pro-family, the pro-religion, the pro-capitalism people, are they happy? Yes. It's like the whole goal of the left agenda is to make everyone as unhappy as them. The whole goal of the conservative agenda is to make everybody as happy as them. It becomes, when you think about it in those terms, it becomes as black and white as it can be. It becomes so easy to figure. Liberals, left, unhappy. Conservatives, right, happy. Which one do you want to be? I know which one I want to be. I want to be on the right. I want to be happy. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello is on vacation. She'll be here next week filling in for me, but Stockton is here.
Hello.
And he'll be there, too, next week.
So. Yes, I will. I don't know if I'll be on talking during the 9 o'clock hour. Mello sometimes has me on whenever she covers, but I will be there no matter what, running the board. So
she's so funny, and those that listen to this show know that sometimes she is not as confident. Like she has a confidence about her, but when it comes to radio, she's a rookie. She's pretty new, you know. And she was, when I asked her if she wanted to do some of the show while I was gone, she's like, okay, I'll do it. I'm like, and it took her a while. She said, I got to get back to you. And she said, okay, I'll do it. I'm like, you'll do what? Like, how many days? And she's like, the whole thing. I'm like, are you sure? Because I can get someone else to have it. We can play best of shows. We can. She's like, I think I can handle. I need guests, though. I can't just come here and talk for 2 weeks. And I said, well, that's fine. You know, I'll have my regular scheduled in. You can bring in a couple that are interesting for you. And I know she has some interesting guests scheduled while we're gone. They're going to have some Switchpoint people on, some Dove Center people on.
Very cool.
There's going to be some neat guests. I know she has an author. We had this author on once before. I think her name is Debbie Heisler. And she had her son pass away. I think it was a domestic abuse situation. But, she's going to come on and talk about, you know, domestic abuse and some of the resources. And so, yeah, going to be some very cool shows. And like I said, we'll also have some of our usual guests on the program. They include, let me look at my schedule real quick. They include people like Mayor Randall. We're going to have a Board of Realtors person on, Mayor Staley. Dr. Blodgett will not be here, but David Heaton from the Health Department will be on the 7th, on the 6th. Marianne Hamilton will be in, and she's going to talk about carbohydrates. By the way, victory for the Pop-Tart, baby. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding. So They interviewed an Olympian, a person who is most likely going to win a gold medal in the Olympics. I forget the event. It's maybe 1,500 meters or something like that.
Do they eat Pop-Tarts for breakfast
and
every day?
And she said, yes, she said, I like to, in between runs, I like to eat some orange juice and some Pop-Tarts. I'm like, yes, gold medal, Pop-Tart, hello. The heck with all you people that tell me I shouldn't be eating those things.
Well, and here's the thing. She's burning a lot of calories during that. I mean, Michael Phelps, have you heard about his diet?
Yeah, that dude eats, what was it, like 10,000 calories a day?
Yeah, he was like eating, he said, this was like right after the 2008 Beijing Olympics, and that was when like he really took off.
Mm-hmm.
But like I remember being a kid and being like, oh, I wish I was Michael Phelps. He eats two large pizzas after every swim every day, and then he just loses it because of how much he swims.
Yeah, well, that's one thing about it. If you do eat a lot, and I always talk about how, you know, man, when I was a kid, I could eat a whole pizza by myself. Yeah, but when I was a kid, I mean, we weren't tracking steps back then, but I'll bet I was getting 20 and 30,000 steps a day doing all kinds of kid stuff.
Yeah.
And now, you know, if I get 5,000, I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Pop-Tarts for the win, huh?
Yeah, Pop-Tarts for the win. We do have, some great guests. And Mello will be the host the entire 2 weeks while I'm gone. Let's see, Jen Polson is going to be on the show, Chris Weiler, and you may not know who these people are, but you will. Chris Weiler is a guy who has, the whole pecan farm orchard out there before Jellystone, and now there's like these big orchards of pecan trees. There's a whole pecan development out over there, and Chris Weiler's a big part of that, so we'll talk about that a little bit too. So that'll be cool. A lot of cool stuff coming up on the show. I am not leaving you in incapable hands. I think it will be good. I want to talk just for a minute about this graph. This cracks me up so much. Okay, there was a graph put out a couple of years ago of climate change. And basically it was a 140-year graph dating back to 1880 and to current times. And well, actually 2020, so a few years ago was when the graph was put out. But so 140 years of history tracking the temperature of the earth, the global land and ocean temperature from January of 1880 to December of 2018, I think it was. Anyway, and this graph, so all the temperatures below the zero line are blue, and all the temperatures above the zero line are red. And if you look, all the temperatures up until 1930 were blue. And then they started to go kind of red, blue, red, blue, red, blue. And then since 1980 on till now, very red. And so you're looking at this graph and you're going, oh, my gosh, we have a problem. This is unbelievable. I mean, what is the difference between the two? It must be humongous to have the blue ones down here and the red ones up here. And just, and then you look at it and you study it and you go, okay, let me look into this a little bit. The average temperature has gone up since 1880 1.8 degrees.
Yeah, so when you showed me that graph, it reminded me a lot of, it's so interesting that they show this in classes, or at least, I don't know if they still do now, but they did when I was in 8th grade. I had a really great Earth Studies teacher. His name was Mr. Bundy. Okay. And he was really, really good at teaching environmental changes and stuff like that. And one of the things that he taught about was this interesting guy by the name of Al Gore. I'm not sure if you heard about him.
Yeah, didn't he invent the internet or
during his big presentations back in the day when he was running for president and all that stuff, he was really pushing hard on this, on the climate change stuff. And oh my gosh, the way he presented it was essentially, take that graph. Now, instead of looking at the numbers and seeing, you could look at that graph and you could tell me there was an average change of about 1.8 degrees, right?
Yeah.
Al Gore would take that graph and he'd take away the numbers. So he would just, except for the
blue
years.
And red.
Except
and,
for the yeah, years. And yeah. So he would just point at the graph and say, look at the world ending. And that was the... And here's the thing. Is climate change real? Personally, Yes, I do, but it's not as drastic as some people are saying.
Well, and you could, and the other thing is it man-made climate change or is it natural climate change?
Exactly. And I do think there is plenty of man-made consequences. I mean, heavens, look at the pollution over Salt Lake.
Sure, pollution,
in terms of like, is the world getting hotter? And it's
because it's our fault.
Because it's our fault.
The answer is
yeah, and yeah. And so it's just Al Gore was the exact same way. So I looked at that and I was like, it's at least they had the decency to put the numbers.
Yeah,
but the way they frame it makes it seem a little more drastic than it actually is.
Well, the author, and there's an article on AIER.org about this graph. They said the thing about it is because they made the temperatures below the zero line blue and above the graph red above the zero line, right there it inflames it. Because in your mind you're going, whoa, red bad, blue good, you know.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, like you said, the numbers. The fact that the numbers, if you do not, and they're little, we're talking a little like, you look at the graph, the bar is big and then the number is a little 7-point thing. And then if you go back to, so a lot of us went to college and we took a statistics class.
Yeah.
Right? And in the statistics class, if you paid attention, and some of you taking a freshman level class in college maybe didn't pay a ton of attention or even attend, I don't know. But every statistic out there can be twisted in your favor. That's just the way, that's the nature of statistics. And, you know, and with the plus minus and all that, I mean, every statistic you can make it look like however you want it to look.
Yeah.
And so we knew that because we went to statistics class. But how many people, number one, never took a statistics class, or number two, never went to statistics class or paid attention, or number three, learned that but forgot about it?
Yeah.
It's so common.
And it's funny. I actually never took a statistics class in college. I fortunately only had to take quantitative reasoning. That's what it was called. but essentially actual useful math that you use every day as a normal, as like a person who doesn't take like a math related job.
Yeah.
It's just word problems essentially. But no, even I knew that.
The other thing about the graph this author points out, again, the website is called How Climate Catastrophists at NOAA Mislead Without Actually Lying. And the other thing is he says, you know, we in Western society, in our languages, we read left to right. Well, guess what? That graph is set up so that the cold temperatures are on the left and the hot temperatures are on the right.
Oh,
so
I didn't realize that.
See it building up. And we're like, oh, you know. So, yeah, but that whole thing just makes it, makes it. I'm going to go ahead and grab that Stockton. I think this is Doug. Is this you, Doug?
Yes. Hey, Andy, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. We only got a minute left in this show, and I'm on vacation.
Yes. Oh, well, good for you. Anyways, a couple of weeks ago, just after that debate, we were talking. I said, yeah, they're going to throw Biden overboard on this one.
And you were right.
It happened. But and it looks like we've gone from him to even worse now.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. I'm sorry about that. But
out of the frying pan into the fire, I guess, huh?
Yes, sir. Hey, have a great weekend, Andy.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate you calling. Good to talk to you. Well, that just about does it for the show. Stockton, thanks for spending some time. And again, I can't express how much gratitude I have for you running the morning show for the next 2 weeks without me. Having done it, first of all, for months and months before you were hired, and then whenever you've had either vacation or been sick, it is hard to do it by yourself because you're basically doing two jobs.
Well, and so. I hope you know that I don't intentionally miss. I try to, even when I'm sick, I try my best to work from home so that you don't have to deal
and
with that.
And that actually helps a lot. So, but I will be.
But you deserve this, man. You deserve to go out there and not worry about that for 2 weeks and just enjoy your life, man.
I will be reachable, probably not by phone, but by email. So I'll have access to my email. But other than that, I'm out of here. Folks, thank you so much for listening. I really do feel like I have a relationship with each and every one of you that are a part of the show. And I will miss you. I will be back, barring any unforeseen circumstances. Thanks for listening.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.